Just ahead of 12:40, time to make that smart call to Buell Insurance. 724-443-5610. Donnie Football, solo on this Football Friday. No Joe Starkey across from me. Our guy Austin Bechtold is here, however, so you have two out of the three that you usually have on a Football Friday. And the late, great Meatloaf once said, two out of three ain't bad. You hear that music, the first one of 2026. It is time for a Bechtold breakdown. Austin?
It is time, Donnie, for the Bechtold breakdown brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating. It's January 2nd, 2026. Happy New Year, everyone. If you were an Indiana sports fan like 2 years ago, Donnie, and you were just waking up on January 2nd, 2024, and I told you that your football team would be number one in the country, the only undefeated team in the country, number one and destroying Alabama, what would you tell me?
That you're insane.
Yeah. And probably that, you know, you need to go to an insane asylum or something.
You need to be in a padded room.
I think Indiana is going to run away with this thing, Donnie.
I kind of do too. I mean, man.
They play Oregon again, and you know what happens when you play a team a second time? We did see that with Alabama and Oklahoma, but, man, I just think that they're so talented. They're loaded everywhere. They're so well coached by Cignetti. And
I think it's going to be Indiana and Miami.
Yeah, I do too. And Trinidad Chambliss played incredible last night for Ole Miss. But that would be a home game for Miami. Because it's at the Orange Bowl.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
They're playing the national championship in Miami Gardens. And could you imagine Indiana? So their road to the playoff is you beat Alabama, you beat Oregon twice, and then you beat Miami in a de facto road game.
It would be one of the more impressive college football seasons in a while. I mean, you think back to the one that Joe Burrow's LSU team had.
Yeah, that 19 team.
I mean, you can think back to, you know, other great undefeated seasons. I mean, Miami had, you know, some of those in the early 2000s. They had some of those back in their heyday. If Indiana would pull that off, they would be, what, 16-0? Is that correct?
Yeah, because they were 13-0 after winning the Big Ten. They're 14-0 now, so two more victories, they put them at 16-0.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 16-0 and you have wins in the playoff over Alabama in blowout fashion, if they beat Oregon, and then if, you know, really regardless of whoever they play, Ole Miss or Miami, either team has a much greater football history than what Indiana has. Miami certainly does. If they win either one of those games and they go 16-0, that's an all-time season, and they have the Heisman-winning QB.
So Miami has not won a national championship since 01. Ole Miss has never won it. Oregon has never won it. Indiana has never won it.
So that's why I think that the point that got brought up by Nick Kostos earlier this hour was a good one. Even though it looks like the long, long layoff hurt 7 of the 8 teams over the last 2 years that got that long layoff in the quarterfinal round, we are getting to see a playoff for the first time since I think it started back in 14-15 that does not include Alabama, Georgia, or Ohio State.
Great. Love it. We actually have some parity in college football. I don't know if I'd want that every year. Like, I'm tired of seeing Alabama consistently in the Final Four. I'm tired of seeing it with Ohio State, too. And, you know, Georgia has just been so consistently good. What we're seeing now, Donnie, is this. NIL in the transfer portal, where we thought that it was going to make the most rich teams, at least historically in college football, the dominant programs like Ohio State, the Michigans, the Alabamas, the Georgias, just like that, that would make them an even stronger power, and it would further heighten their abilities to be able to retain the roster and just run it back year after year after year and be great teams. And that has just not been the case. It's allowed Indiana, a school with not a good history of football, but a lot of money, to be able to step up to the plate. It's allowed Oregon, same thing. It's all coming down to money now, but it's allowed other teams that have really not been able to be in the conversation join the dance and be more competitive, to the point where there's not 5 teams that can win it anymore. There's now legitimately 10 to 12 that if they get in, they could actually win.
Yeah, that's something that I'm happily wrong about when it came to the NIL and transfer portal era of college football, at least, because I thought that it would be, well, you know, those teams that are already at the top, they're just going to get that much stronger and kind of run away more than they already were doing. And now we just see so much movement. I mean, it is absolutely mayhem. It's the wild, wild west. You know, kids just transfer left and right. I just saw another one that Chris Peak put out there. You know, one of the Pitt backup QBs, he's transferring to like his fifth school in four years or something. I know maybe he can try somewhere in like the President's Athletic Conference next. That might benefit one of those teams that we cover, Austin.
So here's a fun, well, not fun for him or really for anybody, transfer nugget that I think is interesting from a Penn State player. And I know it's Penn State, but you'll get the reference here. King Mack is a safety that went to Penn State his freshman year. He then transferred to Alabama for his for the following season. He didn't like being at Alabama, so he transferred back to Penn State, said all these great things about the staff and Matt Campbell, and he had a great conversation with the coaching staff, and guess what he did last night, Donnie?
Transferred.
Entered the transfer portal. Yes. A lot of it is transactional. There's not a lot of loyalty left anymore, but I just hate that college football now is just a... It's now become a yearly one-year contract for all the players.
It's just free agency after every single year. Sometimes not even that long.
It's not like there's a multi-year contract. We're seeing like backup offensive linemen for like Pitt and Maryland that are announcing, hey, I'm coming back next year.
Yeah, that's
you
where...
know, that's, it's insane.
That's where it's really gotten odd. You're getting guys that have to announce their recommitment to a school. I also like that you see...
We just actually got one with a local Whippeel product.
Uh-oh.
Quentin Martin, there was a lot of speculation if he was going to transfer or not, ran for over 100 yards in the Pinstripe Bowl. He will be back at Penn State next year. I'm surprised by that.
Ooh. Yeah, he did have a nice Pinstripe Bowl, and I mean, if he doesn't have that game, he's probably going elsewhere.
There's somebody in this building that was very adamant that he was likely going to transfer.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who has a closer relationship with him than you or I do.
Yep.
That's for sure. Yeah, so Chris Peak put this out there 3 hours ago. Pitt quarterback Cole Gonzalez is in the transfer portal.
You know where he went to high school?
Where did
Central
he go?
Catholic.
Okay, so he is the Central Catholic.
Yeah, kid. The Michigan linebacker.
Gonzalez transferred to Pitt in late spring.
Or I'm thinking of Cole Sullivan at Michigan. Disregard.
Okay.
Disregard.
Well, yeah, because I think the Gonzalez we were thinking of was Petey Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Pitt quarterback Cole Gonzalez is in the transfer portal. He transferred to Pitt in late spring after spending the spring semester at Oklahoma. He started his career at Western Carolina. I mean, come on. Now we're getting like semesters. We're getting it down to semesters.
Yeah, semesters.
Next it's going to be weeks. Like, oh man, I spent 9 weeks at Pitt. Now I'm going to go spend 9 weeks at Penn State.
It's like a high school semester, Donnie. What'd you get in your grades for this 9 week quarter here?
Yeah, it's going to come down to that soon enough. I mean,
did you find it weird that in high school we went by quarters? Like you get an A for like the first 9 weeks, and the second 9 weeks maybe you get a B, and then it would all come together like a cumulative score. Why don't high schools and colleges just make it like semesters? Where like you have the first half and then the second half, and you balance it out with your scores and stuff like that. Why do we have four quarters in high school?
Yeah, something else that I also at least went through when I was at Greensburg-Salem that I liked was that we had block scheduling. So we did have classes that were, we only had four classes a day. We had like a fifth class that would only be like 45 minutes, and that was sort of like like an alternate period in a way, like a study hall type of thing. But four classes that were 90 minutes long, that is way nicer than, like, I don't know what Baldwin had, but, like, schools that have, like, eight classes a day that are all 45 minutes.
Yeah, we had, I think there were 45 minutes, eight classes a day.
That's just way too short. And I think, A, it sucks with, like, I mean, just something as simple as homework. Because you get a 90-minute class, normally the teacher is wrapped up for the day after an hour, so he gives you, like, a half hour to work with. Imagine having a gym class in 45 minutes.
Yeah, because like...
You get to class, you have to change into your gym clothes. Yep. You can, do the activity for 20 minutes, and then it's shower time. unless you maybe happen to have gym at the very end of the day and you're like driving your own car home after, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we actually did have an eighth period gym class at one point where if we wanted to dip out 10 minutes early, we weren't like allowed to, but sometimes depending on what was going on that day, we would. I was also a very frequent clock watcher. If like it was a very important class that like I knew that, or sometimes like AP English, we'd have like reading assignments and stuff like that. I wasn't the biggest reader.
And me either.
My favorite was when we were in round tables and we were like going over like, what did you learn in this chapter of the book? I don't know. What did SparkNotes tell me was in this chapter of the book?
Yeah.
And we would call on friends of ours that we knew had no idea what was going on. Or we'd like try to lead them into something where we'd say like, yeah, going off of what Tommy said, and then you'd like come up with something, and then if the teacher said like, yeah, nice point, I'd be like, yes, let's go.
Yeah, I was stuck in some of those classes with real brainiacs. Like if I got caught in like an AP English class, no thanks. My parents tried to push that on me, and maybe it benefited me down the road, I don't know, but that was me with a bunch of people way smarter than me.
Well, like AP English was very good for me because I was able to improve as a writer. Like that was really important.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Donnie, I cannot read like very long form books in like a quick amount of time. Some people can just speed read through it.
Pony can read like a book in a day.
Yeah, like it would take me a month and a half to be able to do that. For whatever reason, maybe it's just because I'm young and younger people, the attention span isn't as great, but I can't get through like a huge chapter book without spending like hours upon hours upon hours reading it.
What's next, Limits?
All right. Japanese third baseman Kazuma Okamoto, Donnie. Could he be signing with the Pirates? The posting window will close on Sunday at 5 p.m., He hit 248 home runs in 11 seasons in Japanese baseball, is a six-time All-Star in Japan as well. And there are rumors and rumblings that it might be the Pirates, it might be the Angels, there are other couple of teams that are involved. My question to you is, would you rather have Okamoto or would you rather have Eugenio Suarez? And at this point, would you just take either or? Who cares?
I would definitely take either or. I mean, if you told me they got either guy, I would be over the moon happy, because I did my New Year's resolutions for the three main teams in town yesterday when I filled in the afternoon for the guys. And for the Pirates, mine was get a needle mover at third base, whether that be Okamoto or Eugenio Suarez, because I think either one could fill that void. I had Jason Mackey on yesterday afternoon, though, around 2:30, it does not sound like he has much confidence in them pulling off the Okamoto move. But he leaves the door open for somebody like Suarez. Now, if they can just improve that spot, I think they've had a pretty good offseason already. I would say a good offseason. I can, you know, say that Ben Cherington finally opened up some lights into what the Pirates could become. They look like they have a real lineup on paper, and you have to imagine they'll add Connor Griffin to that at some point too. I want another impact bat. I think that would come at third base, and I think one of those two guys would be huge for them, because if you can make a world where Jared Triolo is just like the guy that is a defensive upgrade anywhere on the diamond,
yeah,
that's how it should be. He should not be an everyday third baseman, which is the way it could be looking right now.
No, that would be terrible for them, especially offensively. It would be terrible. Like, we saw what great defense that with no offense gives you. I would be completely okay with pedestrian defense from Eugenio Suarez if I know he's going to hit 35 home runs for me and drive in like 100 runs. I would be completely fine with it. And that's the guy that I would go after. Like, Okamoto probably won't cost as much money as Suarez. It will be a longer form deal because he's 29 and Suarez is in his mid-30s. But whatever you have to do to add one more huge bat, you have to do whatever is necessary to do it, I think. You have to be willing to pay the price, which the Pirates have somewhat done this year, definitely more than previous years. But one final addition to this offense that is like actually like a needle mover, not, you know, signing Jose Iglesias to be your shortstop until Connor Griffin is here, even though that wouldn't be a terrible move. But you get my point. They need one more big-time bat in this lineup, and then we can go, oh, there's actually some length in it. Oh, opposing teams might actually fear this lineup when you have Suarez and Connor Griffin or Okamoto that are in it paired with what they already have.
Yeah, I was just responding to somebody on the YouTube chat who said, they've signed nobody. How are you giving them credit? They traded for a guy who had 31 home runs last season, and they signed another who hits like 15 to 20 every season.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they didn't sign Barry Bonds here, but they have done more this offseason than they've done in a long time. They signed their first outside free agent to a multi-year deal for the first time in almost 10 years.
Finally!
I mean, yes, the other offseasons have been so bad that they have been deserving of getting crushed by the media and by the fans, but I mean, come on. We can't act like they've done nothing here. They traded for a guy who instantly became their best offensive player.
Yeah. Pete Nakos of On3 saying, with the transfer portal officially open, this is how much impactful players out of the portal will cost your team. He includes like the wide receiver market is $400,000 to $1 million. Running back market, $350,000 to $1 million. Texter, is anyone getting a degree after all these transfers?
I don't know. That's
a great question.
Yeah, somebody asked me that yesterday. I mean, obviously that's not the first goal for a lot of these kids.
No.
They're trying to get to the league. If they can take care of their education down the road, listen, I'm for them trying to live out their dream. If they can go back and get their education after the fact, then so be it. But I mean, you only really have a few years to make a big enough name for yourself to get into a professional league. That being said, with the eligibility and transfer portal and the craziness of that, there are guys that are older than you, Austin, and almost my age,
yes,
that are still playing college football. I saw a picture last night. The tight end for Ole Miss. I saw a picture of him going on Twitter because I missed that part pretty early in the game. The guy looked like he was 40. He had the hairline of Hulk Hogan.
Wow.
I don't know if you have seen him. I'll send you the picture. He looked like he was 40. I mean, come on.
You're not talking about Priscorn. He's in the league now.
No. It was a kid that played last night. He was playing last night. And I probably shouldn't call him a kid. By the way he looked, I think he's older than me.
One final thing here, Donnie. Here is the update from Ian Rappaport earlier today. Good Morning Football on TJ Watt.
TJ Watt trying to come back after surgery to repair a partially collapsed lung after a dry needling session in the team facility. There was some optimism earlier in the week, and to my knowledge, nothing has waned. The only concerning thing here for the Pittsburgh Steelers and TJ Watt is that he has not been a full participant yet in practice. Today is Friday. If he is not a full participant today, then you really do wonder, is he going to be out there for a win and in all-important game for the Steelers? Again, Tomlin has said he's more optimistic this week than last week, but he also said, let the participation be our guide. TJ has not yet been full, so I would say it's more wait-and-see mode for the star edge rusher than anything else.
So there wasn't really much there, but Rappaport quote tweeted it about an hour later saying, finally, it does appear TJ Watt is on the brink of playing. We'll see what his participation is today, but sounds like he's nearly there.
It would be pretty disappointing if after all of this he doesn't at least dress and play a little bit on Sunday night. And Alex Highsmith has been really good. Nick Herbig in pass rush situations has been really good, and he's better against the run than he gets credit for. I say that pretty often. But I do think it would be a boost if you can get TJ Watt out there for 20 snaps. I think that would be
pretty big
for them.
I think it would probably be more than that, but even if you just have him be a situational guy on third downs or second and longs, those type of situations. Donnie, this guy does look old. He looks like he's 30.
In
this picture, oh my word.
I'm 30. He looks 10 years older than me.
Well, I mean, he has like, his hairline is insane.
It's terrible.
It looks like Ric Flair.
It's terrible.